Sets for the horathon, and remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it, and don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Everybody, welcome back to Master of the Universe podcast. Some people like to call it Master of the Universe Horror podcast. I just can't say horror, so I don't ever say it. You mentioned that the last time, right, Gabe, when we were chilling. You're like, horror? You said horror? I said it. Yeah.
All the dirty horror movies out there.
Yeah.
We watch them all.
Oh, man. So, of course, we got the man beast, Mr. Gabriel. Gabu and Mr. Christopher J, motherfucker, to the max. And today we're talking about the brand new Halloween Kills, man. And we all saw it in theaters together and got over like a motherfucker, if I do say so myself. What do y'all think?
Oh, movie's a movie, but I mean, nothing beats the actual theater experience. That's just unmatched. When you see a movie for the first time and you see it in the theater, you know, it's just, that's the ultimate right there. That's the pinnacle.
Yeah, definitely. It was just cool just to get the whole crowd in on it. Like, we're enjoying a good scene in the movie, and then here goes the kill. You got the whole people, everybody in that whole theater were just like, whoa!
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, I was like so excited about that. It gets me pumped up. I almost standed up and started applauding for the kills, you know, after each scene, man. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I had mentioned to y'all guys there, I was like, I've never been a real big Michael fan. We're going to talk about all the franchises next week. But after watching this, like right away, by about 20 minutes in, I was like, man, they're doing an absolutely badass fucking job with Michael Myers on this theater, or this theater, this movie. And I'm sure you've known, Gabe. I know Chris don't give a fuck about, you know, horror movie news. But I know I'm pretty sure you've seen like the mixed kind of reviews about the film.
I did. I have seen it. A lot of them say that there wasn't really much story to it other than just killing. Some people are saying that it's way too violent, you know, than it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about the old cat and mouse, you know, chasing after Laurie Strode. But then at this point in this movie, they give a little more explanation. Not exact, but a little more kind of vague explanation why Michael actually is going after Laurie Strode. And a lot of people kind of have their little mixed reviews that some of them are saying, no, it's not like the original story. And no, calm down. That this is something different. We need to watch it. I want to see how this ends. And that's why we're waiting till Halloween ends for this next one. And I think it's going to be pretty good. I want to see the explanation, really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, go ahead, man.
I've encountered those same reviews, man. Like, yeah, there's a lot of people that just really loved it, thought it was a blast, and there's a lot of people that, like you're saying, you know, oh, the story's lacking, or oh, you know, there's we don't understand Michael's motive, or oh, there's no closure. Well, of course there's no closure. You already knew there was going to be a third one after this, so why are you bitching about no closure? I mean, come on. It's just, you know, what are you doing? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I can't stand, like, I, you know, there's like always people unhappy, you know, with anything. But when I saw this, I was like, I'm going to go out and just fucking say it. It's my favorite Halloween movie, dude. I've seen them all multiple times. And this one brought an element of all the films and just made this perfect fucking film for me, at least. It kind of made, because I always thought Jason was a way cooler guy because the way he kills people. And even though, Michael's got a good creepy style in the first, couple of films, this is the one where, like, they mix both, where he looks creepy as fuck with his burnt mask and his outfit, the way he, and it's not just the look, but the way that Jane, what's his name, Jude Courtney, whatever his name is, the new Michael.
Right.
He does an amazing job, like, just everything that he does. The kills were great, but it took – I started laughing when I saw the fucking previews that Laurie was in the hospital, and then we watched the movie, and, like, she's in the hospital most of the time, just like the second one. But I thought this one – I know you're a big fan of the second one. Did you make any kind of connections with the 19 – was it 81 film and this one?
As far as this one goes, like, I was talking to my friend about this, and he was telling me he was pretty disappointed because he was telling me, man, I can't believe they sidelined Laurie Strode in here, man. I was like, well, what do you expect, man? If you've seen part one, you saw that she got stabbed in the damn stomach. She got her ass thrown out a damn window. I mean, look how old she is. She probably has arthritis and... Like, seriously, man, she's bedridden in this damn movie. Let her be bedridden. Part two is Fast and the Furious for Halloween right now. I mean, this is Fast and Furious, and it's exactly how that sounds. Michael is going after her. He's going for the kill. And, he doesn't even give a damn about who's in his way. Yeah, and when I say don't give a damn, he's going after them kids. Yeah, the kids got in his way, and he starts killing them off. I was like, you know what? I'm loving this. This is a lot of... It's mostly action, and there's not really much to know about the story. Right now, you're just seeing his full-on rage in this damn movie. But, yeah, in comparison to, like, there was a few hit things, from Halloween Part 2 in comparison to this new one. Like, pretty much, you had the whole fire thing in Part 1. You had the whole hospital theme, too. I mean, that was also in this damn movie. I mean, he came out of the damn fire. We saw him coming out of that, and he was still walking out of the damn fire, still survived. There was the hospital theme where there was a whole lynch mob, all freaking out. They in this damn movie, look, I'm just going to let you all know, spoiler alerts, but seriously, you got to watch this movie. And this one, in the whole hospital scene, there's a whole little lynch mob kind of going after... They started getting all riled up because of the guy from the Breakfast Club. What's his name?
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, exactly. Anthony Michael Hall. And the nerd from Breakfast Club. That's how I always refer to him. And he's the one that's starting up this whole mob group, man. He's like freaking them all out. There's another... If you remember from part one, there was a whole bunch of psychotic patients that got out. Okay, well, pretty much all of them were rounded up except for, like, maybe a few. And one in particular made his way towards the hospital.
The Chris lookalike, right?
Huh?
The Chris lookalike, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Stringy hair, has that real...
has the hunch. Has the hunch on his back.
Long fingernails and... Oh, man, it's a horror.
So, Anthony Michael Hall, for him, this was crazy for me because, first of all, I mean, I really haven't followed his career beyond the late 80s. I don't know really what he's been in after, 1989? So I couldn't really say. But to see him like this, he's not the skinny kid with the, preppy 80s haircut anymore and all that stuff. Like, this is a 50-year-old dude who goes to a bar and gets drunk, has a little bit of a beer waste, just a little, not bad, better than me. But, and he's traumatized. He's fucking traumatized from what happened to him as a kid. And so he's... riles him up, and he takes the lynch mob with him. He grabs a baseball bat from the guy behind the bar, and he gets all these people behind him, and they're ready to just go to town on this one dude.
Exactly, and they catch up with that one dude until where they end up killing him. Now, the guy ended up killing himself. He threw himself out of a damn window. He killed himself because he was like, I'd rather die than, have all these people, tear me apart. So... He throws himself, and you would think, like, the camera moves away from him jumping, and you would think, like, okay, he hit the ground. Everyone's all like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. Mm-hmm. So you think, like, oh, this is a sad moment. Oh, I feel sorry for him, because they all assumed that he was Michael Myers because he came from the same, you know, psycho asylum, you know, place. But guess what? It zooms in on the damn guy when he fell, and his head is all cracked open with brains all over the damn sidewalk. And these people are having a damn conversation over his dead body, saying, like, this isn't Michael Myers. What do you mean?
Can I get a refund?
Yeah, it's exactly what, well, not in so many words, but yeah, they're like, this has to be Michael Myers. And they're like, no. Well, how could you tell? He always has a mask on. This is not Michael Myers. And they're all disappointed. And so,
further back, what about, here's just the original old school magic of Michael Myers, like the two girls, Halloween trick-or-treating, and the mom, the, you know, soccer mom, whatever kind of woman, pulls up and is asked, what are you doing out here? There's a murder on the loose. Get the hell out of here. Get home. Get in my car. Get with me. Get out of here. There's like this guy with like this white mask, and he like wants to play hide and seek, and they're just swinging like they don't give a fuck. And then she looks over, sees Michael Myers, just like Jamie Lloyd in the high school, turns her head back, looks again, boom, gone. That's just, they've always done that well with him, I thought.
The little, what, the popping up and out of nowhere, whatever the fuck?
Yeah, and disappearing suddenly, yeah, they've always done that well. And that, just a simple little thing like that, it make anybody, like, you already know this dude, if he gets you Android, could mess you up. And, I mean, like, he may be supernatural, we don't know. Now you see him, turn around, look again, and he's suddenly gone that quick. That's scary.
Yeah, that was kind of like the first kind of Michael Myers, where he would show up and, you know, he'd be out the window and all that. The first film, I mean, Michael Myers. I'm glad they went back to that one. Some of the other ones, it was like he would just show up and like teleport. This one, it was more like they showed him walking from spot to spot. So I always liked that, you know, like the bit of realism.
And a good mess, too, where you don't see the eyes and all stuff. Like,
oh, yeah, that one. I mean, I don't know as far. I mean, it might be my favorite mask, dude, just because of the. It adds more, you know. It rather than just a plain white one, which was great in the first one, but this one gives it more of a. He's been through some shit, so yeah, I like this mask a lot. I don't know if y'all how y'all feel about it.
No, it felt a lot more like the original, like the first two, you know, which is what it's supposed to be. I mean, what was this shit in the late 80s and the early mid 90s stuff where he has the receding hairline on the mask and the eyes get wider and wider? Come on, man.
Honestly, I have to go with this one. The Halloween Kills mask is like really dope, and then I would have to go with part two, and then I'll end up going with part six, which is the Curse of Michael Myers. There's just something weird because like the way they do with the shadowing, like with the lighting on it, and that mask actually looks pretty dope. Now, the other one, what was it, H2O, where it has the freaking eyebrows and all that? That one was just silly. It was hard to take that thing seriously, man.
And you can see the forehead and eye sockets and all that stuff?
Yeah, it's just, it's hard to get. Like, you're watching it, and you know it's Michael Myers, but you're just like, oh, man, it's just a little bit, it's a hard to watch.
Yeah, this one harkens back so much more. Like, this series, not even just this one, especially this one, but it harkens so much back to the original, too, where it's like Joe was saying, you know, you see him walking around, you know, over a neighborhood, over a town, you know, place to place, slowly killing a person, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. And that's what people fall in love with, not how they, and this is what I always say about slasher films is, in the slasher series, the first two, sometimes even the third one are great. After the second one, and definitely after the third one, it really gets watered down. It's just like, and then they'll reboot it, and they'll go back more to the old feel. It's like, okay, that's what we need.
Yeah, this one, that's the thing I don't get with people bitching about, like, story-wise. Like, I don't know about y'all, but, like the one with, like, one of the best, it's a slasher film. I don't know how many slasher films have a really good story, or at least a sequel with a continuing good story. Other than I think a lot of us go to see these films because of the characters and all that shit, of course, but you know, we're there to see good kills. That's why we like, you know, horror movies, because we want to be scared, we want to be you know, whatever your poison is, if you like, you know, paranormal, if you like the fucking slasher shit, like I said. And this film, like, it, to me, it elevated Michael to where he wasn't before, to where I like them even more now after this film. And they provided, you know, I thought a good story. Was it like A Nightmare on Elm Street where there's like a backstory and all this other shit to it? Well, we already have the backstory, but we can't just kind of redoing that thing. You know, we have Laurie still, that's the night after, and now we're really getting Michael over. I don't know what they wanted. Like, I guess people, they want like some kind of change or something in the story. They wanted to, you know, like Chris says, they wanted to go somewhere rather just enjoying the world that is Michael Myers. You know what I mean? I guess people really don't enjoy it as much as they thought or think, or maybe they're just not a Michael fan and they wanted to see something else, you know?
Yeah, like, honestly, I mean, as far as, like exactly what you were saying, there's a lot of slasher films I mean, we can go ahead and pick off. But honestly, they're all subjective. The way I always kind of picture this is that I think people kind of got too comfortable and they're a little too spoiled about, you know, watching certain movies. And I kind of take it as like, you know, every movie is like a piece of art. Like, you have one person that draws Wolverine. Like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, here's the original one, you know, claws and all. And then you have someone that comes along that's happens to be a little more better artist, or someone that happens to be, you know, or has a different style. And I mean, Wolverine never looks exactly the same. They're all different. Mm-hmm. So in comparison to like these damn movies, I kind of feel like if they're looking for, like, oh, the story wasn't that great, or, I mean, it's like I said, you want to compare it to, like, other slasher movies, their probably list of slasher movies might be different in comparison to, like, what mine is. Some people are saying that, you know, Scream is, like, the best all-the-time horror story ever, and here I come along, and I'm like, no, I just like the fun and games of trying to figure out who the hell is Ghostface, you know what? I mean, there's not really much of a story for me there, but, you know.
You mean there's people say that about Scream?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it just depends on where you go, or you go to a horror convention, you can go ahead and start picking people off and start asking them, like, hey, man, yeah, what do you think about this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man, they'll start giving you a whole list of things, like, oh, I love this movie.
That's the thing. Like, that's the great thing about the horror community. Is that, okay, I said it, I was like, whore, the, you know, scary movies, dude, is that no matter what, okay, pick a Freddy movie, right, because we all know Freddy, there's going to be one where somebody, you, me, or Gabe, or you could pick 10 people that are into it, there's going to be more than one, I'm sure, that has your number one is their least favorite, and then they're, you know, and vice versa. Like, it always happens where you, like, there's some people that, like, I've said it before, and I have no shame. I'm like, I love Hellraiser Inferno way better than the first few Hellraiser. I like those, but that style of being, like, you know, so ridiculous and, like, kind of, like, dark. I love the Hellraiser Inferno, and, like, a lot of people were like, they can't stand it. They shit on it, but, hey, I understand. I was like, yeah, it's completely different than the other ones, you know. I understand, but, yeah, some people, I've heard them, like, I'm a big, you know, podcast listener.
The goblins get you if you don't watch out, to take you and shake you until you shout. Stop, look, and listen, it's Halloween. There's witches and broomsticks and big black hats stirring up the potions in big black...
I've heard podcasts where not only do they love Scream, but they love the whole Scream franchise. And I enjoyed it, like, when it came out. Like, when it first came out, it's like the Blair Witch. If you were there for the debut, you probably loved it then. You know, I doubt that a lot of people still – that same majority still feel the same way. But some do. There's a lot of people that think Scream is the greatest thing ever. Me, it's one of those films that I can't watch. It's kind of, I don't really like the 90s horror anymore. It just depends. But stuff like that 90s – to early 2000s kind of shit, not a real big fan. But yeah, there's fans of everything, dude, as far as like the horror stuff. You know, some people, they love The Exorcist. I think it's a good film. They love Halloween. They think it's the best. I think it's a good film. And, you know, tons. I'm a I'm a Poltergeist 2 guy like Gabe, though.
Oh, exactly. Man, I love... well, Poltergeist 2 was badass because I love the old man Kane in there. He was a creepy son of a bitch. But, man, I kid you not, though. But Halloween Kills was definitely, like, it was a fun-ass movie. This movie picks up exactly, like, right after part one. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty much. Remember the scumbag boyfriend? The one that he was already making out. He was making out with another girl, and he was dressed up at. They were dressed up as Bonnie and Clyde, the granddaughter of Laurie.
Laurie's granddaughter.
So that's where the movie picks up. He's basically walking home, and he's calling his friend Cameron, and right. Cameron is also the douchey guy that was also hitting on the granddaughter. Also, remember he got like a big old spike right through the bottom of his jaw.
That was excellent done because you see what happened to him. Like, you pick right up and, hey, don't forget, this happened to this D-bag of a guy.
Yeah, exactly. So it starts off with that. And funny enough, like, right after they do, it's like doing a recap without having to actually explain anything. So you just kind of, like, you already get the idea, like, where everyone's at already. So you can actually mash them up, like, back to back. So then get this. Then it goes back to the officer, the one that got stabbed by that psychiatrist, and he's down on the ground. I think he's like the Sheriff Hawkins. And this guy decides to be like, hey, let's have a flashback moment right now. So he goes into a whole flashback, and he goes back to his younger days, basically all the way back to part one. So then it picks up at that moment where he had a chance to kill Michael Myers. Well, Michael Myers ended up having his partner by the neck, and Michael was using him as a shield. All of a sudden, he fires a shot, and he shoots his partner in the neck, and mm-hmm. leaving to Michael. Michael's like, shit, I'm out this bitch. He's all, I'm done. He's all, you messed up, and, you know, leave it to the officer. He's like, all like, oh, shit, I can't believe that I messed up. Oh, no. So he ends up, you would think that he would get away, but that's where the police officers come in and actually get him. Now, I kid you not, in this damn movie, Michael takes a freaking beating from this lynch mob, but he turns shit right around. Yeah, I'm giving a whole bunch of spoilers. We're just going after, like, all the main badass parts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, not just you guys, and I've mentioned this to you guys, but I'm pretty sure all the viewers, you know, listening to this, they can go ahead and put up Halloween Kills, or they can pick up memes and stuff, and I'm pretty sure they've seen it when the lynch mob was coming to go ahead and beat Michael Myers down. It showed everyone with badass weapons. There was the cop with the damn gun.
Yeah.
There's some damn neighbors with 2x4s and bats with Anthony Michael Hall. You know, he had a bat.
But which one were you the most afraid of, Gabe? And then I wink at you and Chris, dude. Which is the most intimidating weapon in person there, dude?
Honestly, I mean, I feel like I can dodge a damn 2x4. You know, just looking at some of those people, they don't look like they exercise or do shit. It would either have to
Winks
be
at Chris.
That whole half that town's at the karaoke bar, man.
Look, I kid you not. There was only two people I honestly could say that I would be afraid of. First off, it would be the damn office. There was an officer that was holding he was holding the gun point blank at Michael the whole time. So all Michael had to do was fuck up or wink the wrong way, and then all of a sudden get shot. The second person I'd be afraid of is the damn woman with the iron.
I was waiting for it, dude.
You laugh until you get hit in the forehead with that thing.
Oh, yeah,
she's going to iron my clothes out straight, huh?
And she looked like she meant business too when you saw her. Dude, the way she held it, dude, like that's a fucking known stance for her already. Very comfortable stance.
For real, man. Like, my buddy ended up saying, "Where the hell was the ironing board?" That's what I said. I was like, "Shit, she brought everything but the ironing board." Damn.
That was classic shit, dude. I did laugh when I saw the memes around there. I thought that, you know. Kind of, I want the kind of the two spots I want to kind of go over is like the beginning with the firemen and then that ending, and like, cause that's so awesome that I was telling my brother, cause we were talking about that he liked it too, and I was like, dude, When Michael showed up with that mob, you know, surrounded him, I was like, I love the fact that, you know, that they were, you know, kind of like when Jason, they're there in the forest and they're talking about Jason and that's it. It's kind of like isolated to those 8 or 10 people. Well, this whole fucking, you know, this whole, you know, town knows who Michael is and they're all there and he's right there. And it's so cool for that kind of situation to go on to where they're there meeting this fucking legend. And they're like not afraid. They're there to kick his ass. But of course, Michael gets over. And that's just something really special. You don't see that too much. You know, everyone talks about Freddy. No one sees Freddy but the kids in the dream. And that's it, you know. So I thought, however people want to slice it, like they did a lot of cool shit that's not really done that often. I'm sure it's been done before. But, I mean, what hasn't, right?
No, man, you made up a damn good point. I mean, you talk about, like, everybody having, like, their weaknesses and their strengths and stuff like that. Like, Freddy, he's all in your mind. He's all in that dream state. So when people start talking about him and they're like, no, Freddy's dead, you know. Fred Krueger, he died a long time ago. You mentioned Jason. No, Jason's dead, you know. It was his mom that killed somebody. But Jason himself, no, he's down in the ground. They're all presumed dead. Mm-hmm. And that's usually like their strength because everyone thinks of them as dead. And that's why these guys could come and kill and no one's actually going to suspect or do anything unless they actually see them. Michael is just another dude. Mm-hmm. He's another bro. He's drinking a beer. He's coming down the street and he's doing all kinds of shit. And yeah, there is nothing you can hide about this guy other than he, like they mentioned in the movie, he likes to stand in the damn alleyways in the dark corner, and then he comes and pounces on you like a damn cat. Well, I mean, seriously, this guy, the whole town knows about him. They find his ass, and they end up, and like you said, they're not even afraid. They go ahead and start whooping on his ass. And I was like, oh, shit.
Not whooping his ass, whooping on his ass.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly right, because his ass is, like, face down on the ground. He's tired. He's weak. He's trying to reach for his knife. And the daughter, not the granddaughter, but the daughter of Laurie Strode, ends up stabbing him in the back, and she's not even afraid. She's just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. I'm going to stab your ass, and I'm going to go walk off.
And she made the fatal mistake of assuming that that was it.
Oh, just like in every movie, they usually do that, right? You always presume, they even tell you, and since we were mentioning the movie Scream, they say, hey, this is the part where the killer actually gets up and he's still alive, but everyone assumes that he's dead. You know, and that's why you go ahead and you're supposed to stay and wait till he's actually finished off. But no, not in this case. He actually turned things around. And honestly, I think that was the only thing we could have done without was Laurie Strode's narration during that moment. Mm-hmm. She gave like such a like, ugh. It was a cheesy moment, and I felt like we didn't need it. She's all, every time Michael kills, he gets stronger.
His dick gets harder.
Yeah, he gets harder, and it's harder to even put him down on his ass. And, oh, it's terrible. She starts going off on a whole narration about the darkness consumes him, and nothing can bring him down, And sure enough, you know, it's that magic moment where he gets up and he starts whooping ass on everybody else. And so he actually kills the whole
league. I swear, when he started getting up, I heard Jim Ross in the back go, Michael Myers, Michael Myers, Michael Myers. You know, like all of a sudden, dude, like, because, yeah, but the thing is, and I didn't catch it right away, but I rewatched it. I thought they tried to bring some, like, it seems like, the writer, one of the writers being Danny McBride, they're doing a really good job of adding like a bit of everything of the prior films to it. Not too much, but kind of bringing that Cult of Thorn thing to where like he's more than human. He's human, but he's more than just that also, that he somehow got powers, you know, and that he's killed so much that's the reason he's so powerful tonight, and that's the reason he's able to get up after, like, because they shot him, I think, on the shoulder, right side, and all kinds of shit, but he just kind of like no sells, dude.
No, definitely. So when he was getting attacked, he also got shot too, and you know he was weakened and he was down to the ground, and sure enough, like he gets up and then he starts whooping ass. Now, it's funny, though, like you mentioned it, though, like it does seem like it's kind of going that route. Like, if you're familiar with the movies for the viewers, if you're familiar with the movies like 4, 5, and 6, it's a whole it's like a cult thing. And because the aligning of the stars with the moon in sync with the zodiac signs or whatever, that's what it's all by pure luck that's why it's because of the whole zodiac thing or whatever, that's what's saving his ass, and that's what's keeping him, you know, safe. And so that's why he seems like indestructible, that nothing can really bring him down and nothing can really kill him. In this moment, yeah, dude gets shot. He gets 2x4s. They beat the crap out of him. They smack him in the face with a bat. They do all kinds of stuff to him. And he is like, man, anybody else would be down on the ground. And as old as he's supposed to be, I mean, like when I'm using the word whoop ass, I'm using that lightly. In this damn movie, it's very aggressive. So he's going after, like, the kill on each person, and he's, like, he has, like, the strength of 10 men, man. And he's, like, he's dodging, like, hits. Someone swings at him. He busts their arm. He breaks it. And he does not give two damns about who's coming at him. Even with that lady with the iron, I'm sure she's dead. We didn't get to see that. But
and just one-handed freaking killing, what's his name, Cameron, the boyfriend?
He got a real beat down, yeah.
Oh yeah, man. They didn't even so the scumbag boyfriend at this point close to the ending, the scumbag boyfriend that actually was cheating on the granddaughter of Laurie Strode. Mm-hmm. So he teamed up with her. People are starting to pair in groups so they can go ahead and look for Michael Myers. So he got paired up with it's his ex-girlfriend. You have to assume that they broke up because of the whole cheating thing. But anyways, at this point, they grouped up. He goes into the house, and of course, you know, he finds his dad dead, and here comes Michael. Michael's all slamming his ass against the wall and starts beating the shit and then stabs his ass several times. And you're like, oh, damn. Like, you already felt bad. Like, that's it. Nope, he wasn't even done with that. Yeah, so he picked his ass up, goes ahead and throws him between the rails and starts smacking his ass back and forth. And so now the granddaughter is like, hey, you want me? Come and get me. And she's standing there with a broken leg because she fell down the damn stairs. So get this. So he's like, all right, I'll come after your ass. Yeah, leave him alone. Come after me. And the guy is like all like twitching and he's drooling and he's horribly beaten. So he's starting to step down the stairs. But that ex-boyfriend, his head is sticking outside the edge of the rails where they were slamming his ass. They grab his head. He stops, looks at him, grabs his head, and then twists it, like, completely around, breaks his neck, and just, like, finishes him off. I was like, oh, God. You couldn't just leave him at that. He was going to die from probably suffocation or something or internal bleeding. But no. Michael is like, I ain't going to have none of this. I'm going to make sure he's good and dead. Twist his head off.
Go ahead, dude.
Just to really fucking make sure, yeah. And now I'll tell you this. I'm going to go in a different direction here. Other characters.
I was just going to go, but I'm going to let you, but I had someone in mind. Go ahead.
Well, I bet it's the same people you have in mind as me. You know how I am, like, politically and stuff like that, but I love the gay neighbors.
I mean, when Gabe was talking about it, I was like, I'll let you say what you're going to say, but I just wanted to say before that is that I was telling myself right now, I'm like, man, how good of a movie is that we've talked about all this stuff and there's still stuff to talk about, because I wanted to talk about, we still haven't talked about too much about the fireman scene, how we got over and our thoughts. And Big John fucking Little John. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the Horrorthon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Yeah, dude, fucking Mad TV. And, like, the first thing I thought of was, you know, all that shit. But, I mean, think about all the good scenes. And then the scene where he breaks into the neighbor's house, like, the old man and the black lady with, like, the blonde hair. He's got all the knives in the back. I mean, every scene, like, I watched this movie, like, four times already. Like, the night we were done, I came home and I watched it again, like, halfway. The next day, I put it on, the other half. I watched it again, like, a couple of days ago, just on, because I enjoyed it. And then last night, I've never done this, unless it's, like, a martial arts movie, because I like, you know, the multiple scenes. I was going to every Michael Myers scene in this movie, because I love every single scene that he's in this film, and I've never done that with any other horror film. But Chris, go on, Big John, Little John, Daddy.
I mean, they're just, it's so current, it's so likable, it's so relatable for so many, because we've all known a gay couple, or we've all, even if you don't know one, you've encountered them. Like, you know, my Uncle Anthony and his partner, Uncle Tom, you know, God rest Uncle Anthony, but, you know, or like when I was a teenager, my jobs, you know, and there was this one gay couple would come in every Saturday night and buy different things. I think one of them was just for men, the other one, you know, a few other little household items and stuff. And they were the nicest people. I don't remember the names, but they both had like these, you know, Gillette ad beards and stuff. And yeah, so I mean, we all can relate to that. We all connect to that. They're nice, likable people. You know, they got the bowl of candy for the kids. They dressed up like pirates and stuff. I mean, you know, that's the comic relief charisma in this movie right there, is that.
Oh, yeah. Once they came out, it was like people were saying there's no story. There's no, like, yeah, there is. Like, they introduced characters that you never knew, you've never met, and, like, how over that they get immediately, to where when they died, you felt like, oh, no, not Big John, Little John. Like, that's what you want. You want to be able, because you're watching a horror movie or a slasher movie, people are going to die. So to say, oh, you introduce somebody just to kill them, yeah, I mean, are we supposed to have this fucking three sequel with, you know, you meet 30 people and they slow, like, no, like, you can't do that. I mean, it's going to be, you know, you have to get everything condensed as best as you can. And they did every person that died, almost every person that died. I can't say every single, but the majority of people that died in the film, you felt sad. Tommy, you know, you didn't expect Tommy to get killed. And, you know, he's there. You kind of wanted him to get killed because he's a fucking asshole. But, you know, the Big John, Little John, I was rooting for him. We met them a few times during the film. They were scaring the kids back. That couple that – they're there with the airplane in the beginning, or that little whatever it's called, drone. You know, you only know them for a few minutes, but they're likable. They have a funny personality. I mean,
that, can I just step in on the older couple, the tall white husband, the black wife, blonde hair?
Mm-hmm.
That matches part two, the original part two, because remember he goes into that older couple's house while they're just up late at night watching TV.
Oh yeah, yeah, I forgot about it. She's watching TV in the kitchen, and she gets stabbed or some shit, right, or whatever.
Yeah, she's making a sandwich for him or something.
Yeah, a sandwich.
Yeah, I love that whole scene, man, with the old with those elderly folks in there, mm-hmm. And then he goes ahead and right in front of the lady, which I'm assuming that maybe they're married or something like that. He didn't just like stab the guy once; he was just like grabbing every individual knife. And he was stabbed him with every single one of them. His whole back was all filled with a whole bunch of knives. It was a good murder scene to have like early in the movie. You can see the aggressiveness that you can kind of tell that he was just pissed off throughout this whole damn movie. And it was also neat though. I mean, yeah, just like you were like we were all talking about, like this whole movie. It has, like, a bunch of mini backstories. So, instead, like, we already understand that he survived the fire, whether if he's going back after Laurie Strode or if he's just going after anybody random, either way, he's out. I mean, the movie's called Halloween Kills, so he's out for the kill. And what's neat about that is that, like you said, there's 30 different people, but they're giving a bunch of mini backstories to all of them. So, yeah, I mean, whether if you love him or hate him, it's giving you some kind of emotional feeling towards those characters, to where you're like, oh, God damn it. Like, what? Don't kill them. They're cool people, man. Or, like, I actually felt bad, like I said, I felt a little bad for for the guy in the hospital that they assumed that was Michael Myers, yeah. and he felt like he had no choice to go ahead and kill himself. That one I felt kind of bad for, because I was like, oh, man, this is not even his fault. And he was all scared and everything. You could tell that he was a little mentally disabled. And I didn't feel like that was... Well, yeah, maybe a lot. But like I said, I felt a little bad for him. And sure enough, I mean, they splattered his brains all over the damn pavement.
Oh, my God. That poor, you know, that emotionally disturbed, he's got the bald on top of the long mold in the back and jumps off the fuck.
We're going to call him Chris, dude. We're going to call him the Chris lookalike. Yeah, I was watching it, and like as they're chasing him, I felt legitimately upset about it. I was like, man, someone, you know, calm these idiots down. Like y'all really think that's Michael Myers? He's about 150 pounds off, but like, I mean, or at least 100 pounds, you know. I'm like, give me a break, this short guy who's heavy. And, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, that's Michael, you know. But some people are dumbasses like that, so it's kind of believable. You know, people think crazy shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, honestly, like, I kind of feel that that's pretty close to home. Like, you know, usually, like, you get one person to go ahead and roll up a whole bunch of people, and then you get these other people that just want to join in because they're like, hey, look, they're all acting stupid. I don't see why I can't do it, too. I want to go ahead and do things.
Yeah.
Before you know it, it's just like a roller coaster of a bunch of dumb idiots that they're all doing illegal stuff that they're not even supposed to be doing. And I'm like, really, people? I mean, there's no sense into saying, like, hey, let's make sure that this is the right person before we start going and attacking them. They just know that even though they were, you had a bunch of people saying, like, oh, I'm hurt. The mob was just, like, stepping over people. Laurie Strode, she got trampled a bit. And it was just, like, insane. And I was just like, man, yeah, that's the way people are sometimes, man. They get so riled up, and they think, like, oh, this is a free-for-all now, and let's go ahead and start doing shit. And so, of course, you know, like, you get these little riots and shit like that, and before you know it, buildings, glasses, and all that, they all start, all these people start going crazy, and things start getting broken, and, yeah, that part was whole, that whole lynch mob thing, that was insane. But it was a nice touch for the damn movie, and it's good intensity for Michael Myers.
I started popping because I had when Big John, Little John showed up, and Big John's like jamming out in his study. He's playing this song. I forgot the name of it, but just, you know, I forgot. But it's really good. It's like I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, I have to start listening to it on Halloween because I wanted to see, you know, what it was afterwards. I didn't pay attention to it too much until I heard one of my favorite podcasts talking about it, called Now Playing. And they're like, oh, you know, like everyone plays that Monster Mash. He's like, you got to put on whatever that song was called that he's listening to. And I put it on, and I was like, yeah, that is a pretty cool, you know, tune to jam to, because you always hear Monster Mash, and it's a cool song. But, hey, man, we got to move on. It's 2021. We waited a damn year for this movie, you know. The firefighter scene, too, was over. I don't know what y'all thought about it, because the movie starts off, like, right away, over like a motherfucker.
That was fantastic how they start off with that, because it's picked, like you said, and just like the original Halloween 1 and 2 connects from the get-go. You know, she lit her own compound on fire with him in the basement, thinking that would kill him. Well, and then they run off and get in the back of a truck, and they're getting away from there, getting the hell out of Dodge. But then, of course, firemen don't know any better. They think they're doing their job, but they're really saving, you know, this menace, this monster who's going to go kill everybody.
Yeah, I was watching it again. I was like, man, this house is on fire and there's no cops. You know, like, usually they'll be there, like, for, like, a disturbance, or someone would have told them, hey, there was a shooting or stabbing or, like, some kind of cops around, but...
I didn't have a trouble... You know why I didn't have trouble believing that? Because they're going to, what do you call it, a house that's kind of remote, you know, from a lot of the people.
Yeah.
I mean, this is beyond suburbia.
Well, that's the thing, too. Yeah, you're right, because there's, like, what, five cops in that whole place still? Not a bunch of people.
And, I mean, like, I've been to Rockport. I mean, my gosh, in Rockport, which city is, like, 20,000 people, and they have a police and fire and everything. You call the fire department, the house will be almost halfway burnt down by the time they get there.
That's one thing I thought was amazing, too. Yeah, that, you know, with everything that was going on, it seemed like every police officer seemed to be where that lynch mob was kind of hoarded at, and they were all hoarded at the hospital because they were there was a lot of people that were hurt and killed throughout this movie. So, of course, you know, they got shipped to the hospital trying to save their lives or trying to see, you know, see what the damage is or someone that's missing. They're all running to the hospital, though. And it seemed like every police officer, the sheriffs, everybody was there. But, like, yet, you know, if something were to happen out on the streets, I even made a comment. I was thinking, like, ah, damn woman, she made the mistake of not calling 911. I was like, that's what's going to get her ass killed. Oh, wait a minute. They're all at the police office. They're all at the hospital. Why in the world? She calls 911. Ain't nobody going to answer. Everyone's busy over there trying to control this damn mob because everyone's going nuts trying to, you know, they're on the hunt looking for Michael Myers. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty insane, you know, for them to... I was like, man, how many police officers are really in this town? I mean, they're small towns that they only have, like, maybe a couple, but, I mean, this one should seem like it seems like it's a little more that nice... it's in, what, Haddonfield, right? So, yeah. I mean, this Haddonfield seems more like an up-to-date, more progressive neighborhood. And no, there was no police officers whatsoever. I was like, man, well, it's all right. I mean, that gives more damage to Michael Myers that he can do, so that way we can just go ahead and watch more mayhem and everything. Well, I think that was pretty awesome.
Chris?
Yes, absolutely. So do we want to wrap it up, give our final reviews? Or?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, dude. Give it your rating. Anything else? Anything else you wanted to throw out there? Let the fans know how over Halloween Kills was or not over, dude. But sounds like you like it.
Oh, of course. This is a solid 9, and I know you're gonna laugh. What dude, didn't I give H2O an 8.5?
I think so. It was ridiculous, but
whatever. It was just because of logic, because they were starting to get back to the horror feel, even though they had a lousy mask. Anyway, but. This deserves a 9. And maybe part of it's just me with the emotional memory of being in the theater and the good experience and shit. I mean, you can have a 70-inch TV and a soundbar at your home, but there's nothing like the theater. That's number one. Number two, great use of kills, great use of following. I mean, every kill means something, and there's one kill toward the end. I don't remember who it is, but it's toward the very... It might be the very last. I don't remember, but... That when that kill happened, like I felt the friggin' tingling in both hands, like a strong, like quaking in both hands, like just for a second, like oh shit, like this was so well done. And they have the use of dude Cobra Kai, where you use a little bit of the old school footage, you know, with a lot of the new. Yeah,
we didn't even talk about that, but that was amazing. Donald Pleasance lookalike, that was like the actual guy, the artist.
Oh my God, I thought that was him.
Yeah, it was some, like, the guy that does, like, the art. I think he was the art director. Whatever, he's part of the film. They use practical and whatever, practical and some CGI shit or whatever, like a mixture, and they use some other guy's voice. I was like, this looks like that Star Wars shit, like whatever, Rogue One, where they have that General Tarkin or whatever. It was amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, and they get the feel. Like, this is the main thing, like, You can cast the greatest people, and yes, they have Jamie Lee Curtis, and yes, they have Anthony Michael Hall, and they have, you know, a few other OGs from the original one. That's all great and everything. That's fine. But ultimately, you got to capture, even with what you got to capture the feel. This movie captures the horror feel, it captures the slasher feel, and does all this, by the way. I mean, you always hear about these, you know, $200 million, $300 million budgets for some of these movies. Stuff. Budget on this film, you know what it was?
It was like $20 million.
Yeah. 20 million. Yeah, that's right. 20 million.
I had heard like I had known it was about that because they were like, oh, 50 million on a 20 million budget. I heard them. They're like, oh, they're going to definitely think about doing some more shit with him or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, 150, 200% return. That's freaking awesome. And then the thing is, what I'll finalize in saying this, this movie and its immediate predecessor are like a 1 and 2 of a movie in and of itself. Even though they both stem off of the very original 78 one, they're kind of unto themselves, freestanding, mm-hmm. a 1 and 2. And this 2 is like, to me, is what part 2 in 81 should have been. Because 81 found itself, like, it starts off with a neighborhood walking and harassing, killing people and all this stuff. But then it finds itself quickly being confined in that dark hospital. and then the final blow-up scene. But the thing is, this is all over. I mean, it starts in that burning house, and he walks into town, and he's going through the neighborhoods, and he goes to a karaoke bar, and he goes to a playground, and he goes to a hospital. You know, this is just, you know, you have a good variety of scenery here. You're not so confined to one building, like freaking, what is it, a Die Hard or Halloween 2. You know, it's good. It's good depth.
I agree, man. Gabe.
Yo.
What do you think about this one? A rating and your final thoughts, dude.
It was a good, fun movie, man. Like Chris said, it's the intensity of watching it in a theater, you know, in comparison to, you know, watching it in your own home. I mean, you can watch it either way, but, I mean, the overall, you know, environment kind of does add, like, a little bit of a flair to it, you know, especially when you're sitting next to other people and they're just as intense and at the edge of their seat like you are. Honestly, like, when I watched it in the theater, I was sitting, like, on a good 9.5, man, because I was like, oh, man, like, I was just so into it. I was just like, oh, man, this is so good. And it had some funny moments where, like, it was one of those funny moments where I couldn't believe that shit happened. I was like, oh, look at that. That was fucking cool. And, well, anyways, as far as that goes, now the intensity has dropped, but it's still a damn good movie for me. And honestly, I'm going to give it a good 8.5 because it's just straight out. It's like you don't want to be bored with just like some people want to get a feeling for like just not boredom, but I mean, they want to get that mellowedness. Mm-hmm. You know, they just want to chill and they just want to hear like a good movie or slow ghosts, you know, picking on the people or whatever, terrorizing somebody or the demon slowly making his way into a house or something like that. No, this one is just like straight out Fast and the Furious. Go in for the action. Here's some funny parts. Everyone's intense. It's basically kind of like The Purge, you know, except this one's all focused on one person instead of everyone just kind of attacking each other. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just straight out violence. It's fun. It's cool. And, yeah, Michael is an intense guy, and they made him so in this damn movie. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the 8.5 because I just kind of like that intensity. I like the action in it. So it's fast. It was good. I cared for it. It was good.
Yeah, no, for me, I gave it a 9.8 the night of, and I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to, you know, give my ratings more specifics like that. And I was like, 9.8, dude. And, man, I just have to say is I'm a big fan of Freddy and Jason. Wasn't a big, like I said before, not a big Michael fan. But this took everything from all those elements and, like, just put it together to me to make, like, one of the best slashers I've ever seen. It's just perfect, the way they build him up. It continues to want to see him, and they put him in the film enough to keep you completely invested in the film, invested in him. This is his film. People were bitching that, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis wasn't in the film enough. And it's like, you know, to be honest, like, I like Jamie Lee Curtis, but, like, we don't need to have the whole film about Jamie Lee Curtis. What is Jamie Lee Curtis going to do or say that she hasn't already said or done the two previous films that connect with this? You know what I mean? Like, or even H2O if you were into that shit. Like, where does she, you know, what's left for her? Just to kill him. Anything else is going to be seen as a failure, dude. So, people bitching.
I think pretty much, like, as far as part one, we got the story with her, so we're all, like, mm-hmm. we're all infatuated with her. We wanted to see what she was going to do. Part two, she got sidelined. She got hurt really bad in one, so she got sidelined, which is good because we wanted to see more of Michael anyways. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure with the next one coming out, Halloween Loves, Halloween Ends,
yeah,
she's going to end up coming back.
Oh, for sure.
She's definitely going to... Just the way she's narrating the damn story, you know she's going to have, like, I'm going to predict it's going to be like a suicide kind of pact thing. Said she's going to end up killing herself to kill him as a greater good. And I'm going to go with that theory on that because just the way it builds up and as they're both old, I don't know. I kind of feel like she's going to end up doing – I don't think she's going to survive. I really feel like she's going to kill herself to kill this guy, whether – I'm not saying she's going to shoot her brains out at the same time as he is, but...
It'll be like a Donald Pleasance kind of shit, right, in part two?
Yeah, where, exactly. Like a last-minute dying effort to stop evil for all it's worth, and I'm willing to give my life to stop.
Or here's a non-horror example of that, Walter Kowalski.
Crickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris. You don't know who that is. Y'all are dumb.
Gran Torino.
I don't remember the name, Chris.
Okay. I don't remember that movie too well.
We're on a horror podcast, Chris.
We're all
echoes
right here. Right?
Yeah. Like, or here's another one. I mean, I don't want to... Well, I'm not going to say
that. Sopranos. He's going to do a Soprano, whatever.
Not Sopranos. How many horror movies have ended with a protagonist sacrificing himself to defeat the villain?
Oh, that's true. We got Aliens. Remember Alien 3? She had the queen alien in her stomach.
She Terminator 2's it.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And then there's that. No, you're right. There's like a lot of sacrificing the hero to... I mean, honestly, I just kind of feel like it might go that way.
Yeah, I think so. I think
it's just a guessing game here. I mean, don't hold me to that. I have no quotes or anything.
I'm holding you to it, Gabe. That's it.
Oh. God damn it.
All
right,
wrong. Well, we're all coming after you like the town came after Michael.
Yeah, and I want to say, can I finalize one last thought? I like how you said that how much really can you do with beating Laurie Strode. How much beating the Laurie Strode angle to death, where it's just her versus Michael, her versus Mike. You can only do so much with that limited dynamic, but here – you open it up to so much more, at least for this film, because it's a communal town coming after someone.
Yeah, you want to see you're there to see Michael. Like, you're not there to see Jamie Lee Curtis. I know people think they are, but if Jamie Lee Curtis was against anybody else, the film wouldn't be a hit, right? You know, it would be okay, interesting, whatever. You're there, you know, whether they know it or not, they're to see Michael Myers, and we've seen the first film where Jamie doesn't know shit and she's being stalked. Great. We see the 81 one where she's in bed and being stalked, but it's more Michael. You know, I didn't like that one too much. It was a little bit slower. But, you know, you understand why they did what they did at that point. We had H2O, a chance to redeem herself. So now she's more like warning everybody, you know, and she's kind of has problems and, you know, all that bullshit. And everyone thought that was like, oh, this is much better than all the other ones that came before. I thought, I didn't like H2O at all. They had to fuck it up again with part, you know, Resurrection after that. And then they come with the 2018. They give her kind of the same thing, but now she's not a school or whatever principal, whatever she was. Now she's into guns. She's, you know, been preparing. They give her kind of a similar thing to H2O, but they amp her up. She's much older, kind of to redeem that whole little, you know, duo. And so they got to tell her story at that point, and she's been warning everybody. Everyone doesn't believe her, and then it happens. You can't just have the next film of the same thing, I thought. So when everyone's bitches about that, it's like, hey, let's put a pause. Let's get Michael over. So when we had Jamie's story, or, you know, Laurie's story, and then now we had Michael's, and now it's time to end it all. So I think it's a perfect little kind of, you know, trilogy, but people will bitch and fuck them. Anyway. Next week, we're going to be talking about all three franchises. We'll be talking more Halloween, of course.
Oh, man, I'm going to come after you guys easily, man. I mean, Freddy with Jason, with Michael, you know, the whole argument for next week to see who's on top, who beats the who, and who is the best of the best.
Yeah.
Whose part two is better than their part three. Oh, man, it's going to be a fun conversation for us, huh?
Oh, yeah, I want to have a bunch of different, exactly like you said, the best kills, you know, how you would rank it all. I'll leave it to you if you want to do it. If you have like 10 different categories where we can just shoot the shit for an hour about all three franchises, because there's so much to talk about, favorite characters, least favorite, all that stuff. So everybody that's into the big three, I hope you enjoyed this one. You'll join us for next week. I'm going to try to post it. We're doing this on the 21st. It's been our most important month and our most busiest month. So I'm going to try and post this on Saturday, whatever day that is, the 23rd. And so you'll be hearing this on a Saturday or Sunday, whatever you hear it. And then next week on the 28th or so, I'll try and post it same day, the fucking franchise talk for y'all, or on Halloween. We'll see what happens. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you on the next one.
And you gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong.
Peace.
Love, peace, and chicken grease.